In his second letter to Timothy, the Apostle Paul writes these words, "I charge you in the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who is to judge the living and the dead, and by his appearing and by his kingdom, preach the word. Be urgent, in season and out of season. Convince, rebuke, and exhort. Be unfailing in patience and in teaching." This is In Season and Out of Season, a Bible teaching ministry with Father Tom DiLorenzo.
This ocean was made through him. He is the great creator. The Father spoke his word and it came to be. The great oceans were made through him. The great mountains were made through him. The great galaxies were made through him. The great stars were made through him. The great valleys were made through him. The great rivers were made through him. Who is this child, this infant lying in the manger? All things were made through him. And without him, there was made nothing that was made. My Lord, how could it be that an infant that is absolutely dependent upon his mother, absolutely dependent upon her milk, absolutely dependent upon her love and the love of Joseph, all things were made through him. And without him, there was made nothing that was made. Condescension? What a condescension that the one who made all things becomes a fertilized egg. You see, I will not start with Bethlehem because I don't believe in Bethlehem at the beginning. I believe in Nazareth when she conceived by the Holy Spirit and the Spirit of God came upon her. And that baby grows in her womb and brought forth at Bethlehem. Who is this infant? He is the Savior of the world. He is the one who spoke the world into existence. He is the one who gave his life for me and for you. He is the one who died and shed his last drop of blood as the new and eternal covenant in his blood that we make present every day at the altar. He is the one who was buried and rose from the dead. Hallelujah. He is the one who sits at the right hand of the Father. He is the one who intercedes for us as the great high priest. And it all started in Nazareth when she said, "Let it be done unto me according to thy word." Many, many years ago, I was asked to speak at Congress. It's a Protestant, not a retreat, but conference. Oh, and they asked me to speak. You know, I'll never forget it. You know, they asked me once. It was on the 6th of January, if I remember, somewhere around there, many, many years ago. Oh, and of course I spoke about Jesus because I have nothing to speak about but Jesus. But I said, "I know you're all waiting for me to mention her." And so I did. I mentioned her. I was never invited back again, but that's quite all right. Because I remember there are people there that I went to a funeral yesterday. That there was a young girl there that was not Catholic anymore, and she heard me preach, and she started to come to my Bible study, and she went and changed, her life was changed. I'm going to tell you, I started to talk about her who conceived by the Holy Spirit, who was the woman of faith. Isn't it funny that yesterday I went to do her mother's funeral, and they said, "You know, I want to tell you something. Mrs. Rock was the grandmother of this person. She had been listening to me for years. She was a saint, Mrs. Rock. She used to write to me, you know. And she used to say to me, 'Father Tom, you're like a voice crying in the wilderness. I pray for you.' She was a prayer warrior, Mrs. Rock. And she started to tell her family about this voice in the wilderness that she used to listen to. And my friend Ginger said, 'Well, I'm going to a priest now, and he has a Bible study. What is the voice in the wilderness called?' And she said, 'His last name is DiLorenzo.' She said, 'That's the priest I'm going to. That's why I've come back to the church.' My gosh. One never knows what one does as one proclaims the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. You never know who's listening. I tell you, Mrs. Rock was a saint. And I still count on her prayers because I believe in the communion of saints and the forgiveness of sins in the blood of Jesus. I still count on her prayers, and now I count on her daughter's prayers that I buried yesterday. Mary. Yeah, because they are faithful people of God. Faithful people of God who are ever with the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. The Lamb of God who was slain from the foundation of the earth. Oh yes, how many have heard the voice in the wilderness and have come to know Jesus? I will never know until the last day. I will never know until the last day. Never. But there must be a voice in the wilderness, a prophetic voice. There must be, because you see, we are on the brink of darkness and destruction in this age. We are on the brink of darkness and destruction, economically, spiritually, meteorologically, every single... I would challenge people to Google John Paul Jackson, The Perfect Storm. I would challenge people to get ready for the perfect storm. John Paul Jackson, prophet. I know he's a prophet. I know he's the perfect storm. Because I'm telling you, when you're not ready for the perfect storm, it's going to catch you. It's going to catch you unaware. And you'll be swept up. Oh, yes. John Paul Jackson. The Perfect Storm. Google it. Listen to it carefully. It's not scary. It has nothing to do with scary. It has everything to do with getting ready. Getting ready. Getting ready. Getting ready. Getting ready. In the United States, we say we have 9.8 or 9.7 unemployment. They're lying to you. It's more like 18%. They're lying to you. How many people have lost their homes? How many people have lost their homes? How many people are without jobs for years? How many people? The government is giving out money and money and money, and we're printing and printing and printing and printing. It's going to be like Monopoly money. You know Monopoly money, how much it's worth? Nothing. And if this country goes down into the drink like the Titanic, I tell you, my friends, you better know Jesus. You better know Jesus Christ. Now the Obama people are starting to come up with the death panels again. Oh, they couldn't pass it legislatively. Now they're doing it another way. That the doctor will ask the old people every year, do you want to continue to live? Do you want to continue to live? And the doctor will get a rebate. Do you know that? You know that for every year an old person's going to be asked, what happens if you get very sick? Do you want to continue to live? That's it. Death panels are coming on again, and no one's talking about them. No one's talking about them. You see, those priests, those bishops, those clergy that voted for Obama, they should be ashamed of themselves because he is a socialist. And you know what our Blessed Mother said in Fatima? She said that Russia would spread her errors, and who would ever think that in United States of America that Russia would spread her errors? Because if we have socialistic medicine, I'm telling you, the greatest cost of people are when they dying, because the government's not going to want to pay for the elderly because we don't have the money anymore. And the doctors will ask every year, do you want to live? And if this is not the job of the priest that warns the people, who's going to warn the people? Who's going to warn the people? I'm a watchman. I never chose myself to be a watchman. You understand that? I never chose myself to be a watchman on the wall. I never chose it. It was someone who chose it for me. Someone who gave me the airwaves. Someone who opened up for me to come into your home. Yeah, someone. It wasn't me. I didn't do this. I don't have that power. But I know someone that has, and therefore I'm responsible. You better watch your old people, these people that are getting old, like myself. I told you 20 years ago that they would say, well, what good are you? You've never had any children. You don't have any worth. You're going. Okinawa. I know it's sayonara, but I'll say Okinawa if I want. We're on the precipice of the greatest, greatest calamity that we've ever experienced. The Great Depression will be nothing. You know why? Because with the Great Depression, my friends, people knew how to live on nothing. But now we are the children that have been raised on bonbons, and we don't know Jesus. The Great Depression, they know who to turn to. Only God knows if an Antichrist or the Antichrist will rise up when this begins to happen and the governments economically are all failing and dying and dead. Do you know Italy and Spain are going under, and Portugal's going under, and Greece is going under, and we are going under? You can only charge so long on your plastic card before they take you in. Do you know that in 2 years, Obama spent $3 trillion to the deficit? $3 trillion to the deficit. He added $3 trillion. Do you understand what I'm saying? This is real. This is real. I'm telling you the truth, okay? I told you I had a vision in 1997 of the Titanic sinking. I've said it over and over again. And the Lord told me that the Titanic was the world economic system. I didn't even know in 1997 that there was a world economic system. I didn't know that. I thought that every country had their own economic system. I didn't know we were all tied up with each other. And then I saw the lifeboats trying to gain the people in, get the people out of the cold water, and they didn't know how, and that was the church, the churches. They didn't know what to do during the great calamity. Didn't know what to do. With all the goggly gook and psychobabble that people hear in from sanctuaries, both Catholic and Protestant, who is preaching Jesus, who is preaching him as the crucified, who is preaching him as the only way, who is preaching him as the Lord, who is preaching him who is the only one who saves us, not only on Christmas, but every single year and every single day, who preaches him as the only hope of the nations, the only hope of the church, the only hope of you and my only hope. Who preaches him? Who is like the lighthouse that shines? The lighthouse that shines. And this beacon light is out to those ships that have gone hit the rocks. And who is that? Who are those people that are like lighthouses proclaiming Jesus? I came among you, decided to know nothing but Jesus Christ and him crucified, St. Paul said. Great lighthouse, but who is like the lighthouse warning the people, shedding that beacon light to people? Who in the last days, Amos said, I will tell you, there would be a famine, not of food and drink, but of the word of God. And they would go from the north to the south, and they would not hear the word of God, to the east and the west, and they would not hear the word of God. You read it yourself. It's in the 8th chapter of Amos. In the last days. Ha ha. Are we in the last days? Oh yes, we got it. We had a blizzard. A blizzard. Oh yes, and the weathermen were there, and the weatherwomen were there, warning us about the blizzard, warning us about the blizzard, warning us about... Who's warning us about what's going to happen economically in the church? Who's warning us? Where are the bishops? There's no warning. Where are the priests? Where are the ministers? Who's warning us?
Oh, the weathermen warn us. We have to let them know. We have to let them. We're getting a blizzard! A blizzard! A blizzard!
Who's warning us?
Glenn Beck?
No watchman. No watchman. You want to know why? Because most of the churches, plural, have become a business. B-U-S-I-N-E-S-S. Business. Do you understand? Business. It's all about money. And our money is going to be worth zero. I'm warning you. I'm telling you. I'm not playing games. I'm on the wall telling you, prepare yourself spiritually. Prepare yourself. Prepare yourself physically. Prepare yourself because days of darkness are coming upon the earth. We heard that in 1980 from Father Scanlon, and we are beginning to see those days. When he said, Father Scanlon in Rome before the Pope, he said, and there would be no more scaffolding for us to hold on to, only Jesus. And because when God put out His Spirit, we did not learn through His Spirit, we decided to do our own thing, Father Scanlon said, we would learn through judgment. I told you a long time ago that judgment begins with the house of God. That's what the Bible says. And I said, where is the house of God's heart in our money? And guess what? We've been judged in our money with the priest scandal. Then I said, after judgment finishes with the house of God and continues, it's going to go to the nations. I said this in 1990. Where will we be judged? In the nations, in our pocketbook, because that's where our God is. I said this in 1990. This is not a new thing. This is just, it's becoming into fruition. And who warns us? Oh, the weathermen warned us about the blizzard. It wasn't even that bad, okay? Not here in Winthrop. Wasn't that bad. I'm looking out. I've seen worse storms than this. They've cleared everything. But, oh, you would have thought that we were having the blizzard of 78 in Winthrop. You would have thought that you better just batten down the hatches, because we're all going to die from this blizzard. Oh, they warned us. I'd rather be warned, at least. Oh, but I'm sure that the churches will say, we don't warn people. We don't want to scare people. Scare people? Then what happens when it's at your door? What happens when it's inside your house? Scare people. We're not scaring people. We want to give people hope, for our only hope is in Jesus Christ. Scare people. I'm not into scaring people. Our only hope is in Jesus Christ. My only hope is in Jesus Christ. I have no other hope but Jesus Christ. Do you understand what I'm saying? Oh, judgment is coming upon the world. You might ask why. Well, yesterday we celebrated the Feast of the Holy Innocents, when Herod killed the children in Bethlehem, 2 years and under. Holy Innocents. Today there were probably 30 people that went into Planned Parenthood and they had their children killed. Today. And I'm going to tell you, there were not 30 people in Bethlehem. Believe me. There were just a few. The small little hamlet. And this happens day in and day out and day in and day out and day in and day out all over the world. If we have killed 60 million by abortion, how much have we killed through contraception? Because many contraceptives are abortifacients. They kill the child. And then through embryonic stem cell research, and we keep on planting misery, and we keep on planting death, and we think God is going to... God bless America! Not on your life until the church repents and the world repents. Not on your life. You think God is a fool? We are doing to the children what they did in the days of the Old Testament, offering our children to Moloch, who Who do you think comes to kill, steal, and destroy? His name is Satan. Who do you think is the one behind Planned Parenthood and all these abortion mills? His name is Satan.
And what have we done? Not much, said the prophet. Not much.
And now with the elderly. Now with the elderly. Death panels again being introduced into the Obamacare. They couldn't get it through legislation. Now they're getting through committee. That the doctor will talk to the old people every year, and he'll get a kickback every time he talks to a person. And how do you think he's going to want to, the more he gets, the more money he gets, you know? His check gets bigger and bigger and bigger, or her check gets bigger, and if they have no conscience, they have no conscience, they have no conscience, you know what's going to happen? Well, honey, you know, you are old, and, you know, you failed since last year, dear, and, you know, yeah, you know. The Holy Father said, John Paul II, we live in a society and a culture of death. Who preaches that? Who preaches that? He was the most heard person in the world and the least listened to. Who listens to him? Even in your church, do they even pray for the unborn? Do they even pray for the women who have had abortions? Do they even mention it? Never, because we're all so politically correct, you know what I'm saying? It's time to give our life to Jesus Christ. It's time to give our life to Jesus Christ. It's time, because days of darkness are coming upon the earth, said Father Scanlon. Days of darkness that what God couldn't do through the outpouring of the Spirit, he will do through judgment. And judgment begins with the house of God and then goes to the world. I'm telling you, this world is under the judgment of God, because he came into the world and the world did not know him. He came unto his own, the Jews, and to the church, and his own did not receive him. They rejected him. Are you rejecting Jesus today? He's your only hope. I'm not your hope. Jesus is your hope. There is no other hope but Jesus Christ. He is your only hope. There is no hope but Jesus alone. The child in the manger is the creator of the world. God the Father spoke his word into existence. Let there be light, and there was light. Oceans and stars and galaxies and mountains and rivers and birds and elephants and everything else. God spoke his word, and it came to be. Let me tell you, my friend, it is time to surrender to the King of Glory, to the light of the world. Arise, shine forth, for your light has come. Arise, shine forth, for your light has come. For the glory of God shines upon you, though darkness will cover the earth. Thick darkness, the world, it shall not come upon you. You better be hitched to Jesus. Your life better be his. Because you know what? We are heading toward the darkest days that the United States has ever had. And we were raised on bonbons. And let me tell you, we will not endure those dark days. What we saw with Katrina, there'll be looting, there'll be so much that we will not. Have you seen what's happening in England? They're starting fires because they raised tuition. Now listen, we've been raised on bonbons and we don't know Jesus, and it's time for us to give our life to the child in the manger who was destined to die on a cross out of love for you. Destined to bleed out of love for you. Destined to give you peace that the world cannot give out of love for you. Destined to rise from the dead and to ascend into heaven and to pray for you. For right now, he's praying for you. And I say amen to what you're praying for me right now, Jesus, at the right hand of the Father. I say amen what you're praying for these people. Whatever you're praying for these people, Lord, I don't know what you're praying, but I'm saying amen, amen. And I think the first thing is that you come to know him, that you come to receive him, that you surrender your life to him. How do I do it? I surrender, Jesus. I surrender. Get on your knees. I surrender. I surrender. I surrender. I surrender. I surrender. Surrender all. I surrender all. to Jesus, precious Savior, I surrender all.
And this is a voice, not the voice, a voice crying in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord, make his paths straight, for I am a messenger, and I am unworthy to proclaim these words, but I tell you, prepare the way of the Lord. Now, I need to hear from you, Father Tom. Post Office Box 602, East Boston, Mass. 02128. Father Tom, Post Office Box 602, East Boston, Mass. 02128. God bless you.
This has been In Season and Out of Season with Father Tom DiLorenzo. A tape of this week's series of messages is available to you with a donation when you write to this new address, Father Tom DiLorenzo, P.O. Box 602, East Boston, Mass. 02128. Please make a note of it. And remember that this ministry is supported only by the donations of listeners, so please help as the Lord leads you. That new address again is Father Tom DiLorenzo, P.O. Box 602, East Boston, Mass. 02128. And be sure to listen again next time for In Season and Out of Season.